We're going to pray and get ready our hearts to receive the word of God, and we're going to receive communion right after that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is eternal. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We thank you that the entrance of your word will bring and give light and give understanding to our hearts and illumination to our minds. We thank you, Father God, that your word will not return empty or void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to accomplish. And we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will break and destroy every yoke of bondage. And we thank you for taking us up higher to another level in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 So we're talking about, I've entitled it, Mama's Oil and Opportunity. Mama's Oil and Opportunity. Again, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to look at two mothers in faith. And we're going to glean and learn from their example of using what they had by faith and then seeing and seizing the opportunities of faith for miracles. Everybody say miracles. So these two examples are examples of the miraculous which two mothers, example mothers in the scripture put their faith on the line for a miracle, and they received it. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah. He was the prophet of the day. He was the man of God at that time, the leading prophet, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, how many of you know that's a desperate situation? She's widowed now. She's a mother of two boys. And she's getting ready to lose those two boys because of the debt that was left by her husband's decease. And so she's in dire situations. So we're seeing here the statement of her faith for a financial miracle. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Isn't that beautiful? God always asks, what can I do for you? And then tell me, what do you have in your house? This is the key important question that she answered and responded appropriately. She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So when she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and brought the vessels to her, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased, and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay off your debt, and you and your sons live off the rest. Isn't that good? Praise God. So we see here Mama's oil and faith in operation in this account. See, the oil was in the house, and she knew where it was. She said, I don't have anything but a flask of oil, a little container of oil. And the message behind the miracle begins to unfold when Elijah poses the question and sets the tone, friends, for her inquiry in the text, what do you have in her house, in your house? So we can learn and receive today this first miracle account about a desperate and devastated widow, a mother who needed a financial miracle. Does anyone need a financial miracle? We've all needed it one at times. If not now, when? So in this first lesson, we learn Our faith in action is what gives God something to work with and opens the door to the supernatural and miraculous in our lives. Our faith in action gives God something to work with. Everybody say, my faith, my active faith, gives God something to work with. You got to give God something to work with. That's why he always asks, what's in your house or what's in your hand? See, God's a great performer, but our first act of faith needs to be to believe him and to receive instruction from him. So faith works for anybody, we said, and works on anything. Look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. He says, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in who? God. We don't have faith in everything else and anyone else, but we have our faith is to be in God, because God's a faith God. He said, for surely I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. So Jesus is given some of the most outstanding statements in his earthly ministry, teaching on the principles of the law of faith. And he's telling us, first and foremost, that whosoever, that means faith will work for anybody. Whosoever, and then at the end of the verse, verse 23, shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, are you a whosoever? That means that you qualify. It didn't say whosoever shall have $1 million in the bank, whosoever shall have the right skin color or pigmentation, whosoever born on the right side of the track, whosoever has a college education. He said whosoever shall have whatsoever he saith. And he said, in other words, you can have what you say. Faith works by saying. But also in verse 24, we see faith works by praying. So both are working together to believe and receive from God things that in the natural you can't get done by yourself. He's given an illustration of an immovable, impossible, large, big problem called, in an analogy, a mountain. He's saying, you got whosoever shall have whatsoever you say when you're dealing with a big, big problem. This lady was dealing with a big, big problem. The creditor was getting ready to take her sons to be slaves and work under his rulership and dictatorship until that debt was paid off. That could have been years. It could have been decades. And she would have lost everything. The second lesson we see here is that faith and obedience to divine instruction are a vital necessity. You can't just say, well, I'm believing. I believe, I have faith. But no, faith and obedience work hand in hand. See, divine order, we've said, and obeying divine instructions is our faith and corresponding acts or actions of obedience. So divine order is a prerequisite for miracles. So the widow woman and her mother acted in faith and obeyed the divine instructions given to her through the man of God, the prophet of God. The prophet Elijah represented the move and manifestation of God in her life for the financial miracle she so desperately needed. Now, you got to remember, Old Testament, there were only three types of people anointed: the prophet, priest, and king. She was neither a prophet, nor a priest, nor a king. And so she had to go through him to God, because he was anointed to hear from God and receive from God and give a word from God for them. Thank God we're under the new covenant. We can go directly to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so she went to the, and she obeyed divine instructions. Everybody say, obey divine instruction. See, some people have faith in their heart, but they don't have feet with their faith. In other words, their feet don't move. They don't act their faith. See, you can have faith, but you have to make a decision to and determination that I'm going to obey instruction, divine instruction. God will always tell you what you need to do before he does what he can do that you can't do. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. James 2, 17 through and 20. James 2, chapter 2, verse 17 and 20 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works. See, faith by itself is dead. Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? We can be foolish thinking that we just not have to have faith. I just have to have positive thinking. I just have to have belief in my heart. No, you got to have words coming out of your mouth, and you got to have actions in motion, in your faith in motion, showing that I believe to receive what God has promised me. Works is simply a word that means corresponding actions of obedience. Corresponding actions of obedience. In other words, faith has to be accompanied by your works, that they are proof and evidence that I am believing to receive. See, God our Father will do what we can't, but we must do what we can do. See, there is God's part, number one, and our part to play and partner in receiving miracles from him. So, I believe he's still the God of miracles today. Don't you believe that? And I believe that it's with what is our faith working on? Our faith should be working on something that we can't do because we are to live by faith. So, ladies, mothers, in particular, this is Mother's Day, we can't just sit and do nothing and wish for a miracle from God, in other words, or we can't just do and choose to do what this widow put her faith and obedience and actions to do to work for a miracle. Her faith was working on a miracle. She wasn't just sitting back wishing and hoping that God would just do everything and bring the money somehow and drop it out of heaven. No, she was working her faith and obedience in line and in partnership with God for a miracle from him. She needed a miracle desperately because the creditor was coming to take her sons. She needed a financial miracle. She couldn't figure out, oh, I need to go get a job. I need to go borrow money. I need to go do this. No, she was doing what the man of God told her to do. Go get vessels. Simple instructions. Go borrow from all your friends and family and neighbors, and don't borrow a little bit of them. And then go pour that oil. And God did what she couldn't do. He multiplied that oil. He increased that oil, and the oil poured out to as much vessels that she had borrowed. Then he gave her other instructions. Go. Sell it. Pay your debts off. I'm talking about a supernatural debt cancellation and a retirement pension in the same miracle. And she couldn't credit her husband because he's dead. The working person was dead. God gets all the credit and he gets all the glory. Somebody say glory to God. So, we can either be foolish and in presumption, where we presume that God's going to do everything, I don't have to do anything, or we can be in genuine, authentic faith when we face problems, pain, pressures, or perils, like this woman, like this dear mother. Anybody can receive victory and miracles by faith, no matter how ugly, how hopeless, and how dark the situation is. Now remember what Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall have whatsoever. Faith works for anybody. Faith will work on anything. And faith works the same in any sphere, any arena, in any realm. We need faith. We need mothers and fathers of faith to come alive, to step up, hallelujah, in this world. Praise God. And 1 John 5:4 in the Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. How do we achieve victory from this evil world? Through our faith. Everybody say, through my faith. Through my faith. Where is your faith? What is your faith working on? Now let's look at another example of a mama's faith opportunities that she takes to see and seize a miracle. Now let's pick up in verse 8. I'm going to read down through the verse 37. It says, now it happened on the day that Elijah went to Shunem, and there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God, talking about Elijah, who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and laid down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to her, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, then what is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her, and the child grew. And it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. And when she had taken him, she brought him to his mother. They had taken him to bottom of his own. And he sat on her knees till noon, and he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And then she called her husband. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. And he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Look what she's saying. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, that Shunammite woman. Now run and meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Now look at her confession of faith. And now when she came to the man of God at the heel, she caught him by the feet. And Gehazi came near and to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for she her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did not I say, don't deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get up, get yourself ready, and take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. And if you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of this child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and my soul lives, I will not leave you. So she arose and followed her. Then Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, the child has not awakened. when Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind him, the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And when he went up and laid on the child, he put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So she called her, and she went and came into him and said, "Pick up your son." And she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, and she picked up her son and went out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, see, we see now not a financial miracle, but a family miracle. How many family miracles do mothers wish for and want to happen in their lives? See, this next woman both sees and seizes two miracles. First, she saw an opportunity to serve and seize and lay hold of the move of God in her house. And that's a lesson for all mothers to learn and receive, that we have to lay hold of the move of God. Now, Elijah represented the move of God. He was a man of God, but he represented the move of God. And he laid hold of him and brought the move of God into her house. She made room for the move of God into her house. She didn't want the move of God to pass by and pass over her house. And that's a good note to make. But the third lesson we see in these faithful miracle examples from these two mothers, that the third lesson we learn is that through the Shunammite woman is that our faith is what pleases God is pleased with. Not our fashion, not our family name, not our finances or bank account, because she was notable. In other words, the Bible said she was wealthy. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Faith pleases God. Faith excites and engages God in our lives. Faith is what cranks God's tractor. He's pleased with our faith. The second point under this third lesson is that when we please and delight in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. We see this woman not even asking, but Gehazi mentioning she doesn't have a son. Now, what does that mean, friends? That means typically in custom and culture back then, the oldest son represented the person who would care for their mother under the Jewish culture traditionally. After the father had deceased. So without a son, she was destined to poverty. She would have nobody to take care of her. So it culturally and circumstantially, her husband was old. Probably the hopes and desires of having a son was growing very faint and wean in her life. And without a son, she's looking at, man, I have nobody to take care of me when he passes on. She needed a miracle. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, and so she probably had the desire in her heart deep down within to have a baby. She wasn't able to have one before. Now God grants her this because she pleased him with serving both the man of God and the move of God in her house. She made room. And the Bible says in Psalms 37:4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." He will give you the desires. So sometimes when we please the Lord with our faith, he'll just do things because he knows that's in your heart. He'll just do nice and good things for you and blessings and surprise and say, "Surprise, here it is. I'm giving you something to bless you with because you please me." And what pleases God? Faith pleases God. And how did this woman use her faith? She saw and seized an opportunity to serve the man of God, to serve the move of God in her own house. She invited them to come in. Then she made another room. They made room for him to stay in her house. And then next thing we see, a miracle happening in her house, in her life. This woman had a desire in her heart to have a child, and God granted her that desire. She saw a faith opportunity and stepped out and stepped up to serve the man of God and bring the move of God into her house. She was pleased, God was pleased with her faith and granted her a miracle. The fourth lesson that we learn and take away is that faith maintains and holds on to the confession of what you believe to receive. See, when her son died, she didn't run off and blab off and cry, post on social media all that went wrong. And she went, when she met everyone she met, she said, what? All is well. Her fear wasn't talking. Her frantic, grieving heart wasn't talking. Her faith was talking. She was disciplined in her speech. She had, her faith was focused and tenacious. She said, all is well. Now, some people say, well, wasn't she lying because didn't her son die? Yes, he did. But see, faith says the same thing about your circumstance or your situation, what the Word of God says. So she's holding on to the Word of God or a word from God. All is well. All will be well in my house. Hebrews 10:23 tells us in the King James Version, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, we don't waver because he's faithful. Somebody say glory to God. So when pain, problems, pressures, and contradictory predicaments face off with you, you have to get a grip on your lip. You have to keep a grip on your lip. She didn't run and tell her husband, whatever his name was, you know, my baby's dead. My boy is dead. My boy is dead. My boy is dead. She said, send one of your servants out to me and give me a donkey. Give me a ride so I can go to the man of God and what? Come back. He didn't even know what's going on. Hallelujah. You got to get a grip on your lip. So you have to maintain your confession of faith. You have to hold fast to what you believe and not what you see and feel naturally. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God or doesn't the Word doesn't say what you are believing for, then you have to hold fast to the confession of your faith, not by what you see and feel or what circumstances are telling you. Amen. Her faith and her faithfulness was genuine. Our faith to step out, we often say, is worthless without our faithfulness to stick it out and tough it out through the storms and situations of life. Because we all experience storms. It's not if, it's when. When the storms of life and the situations of life come upon the scenes, we have to have the faith to step out, but we also need the faithfulness to stick it out and tough it out and maintain our confession of faith. So the big question is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is your faith genuine? Mothers, is your faith genuine? So we learn from these two mamas that their faith was authentic. It was genuine. It was hooked up, tied up, and unrelenting to God and for God for a miracle. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, we see Paul was crediting faith that Timothy had to his mother and grandmother. We see, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I might be filled, may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, the what? Genuine faith. Everybody say genuine faith. Genuine faith that is in you, which first dwell in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. Now, that's very profound to me. Because Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is calling out grandmama and mama's faith in Timothy. What's being passed down? Faith. See, we must learn that faith is not hereditary. It is learned. This is what you teach. This is what you demonstrate. This is what you role model, particularly as mothers and fathers. We role model faith because it's not hereditary. They don't catch it automatically. It has to be learned by observation, association, and assimilation. See, the greatest gift parents and grandparents can give their children is the heritage of genuine faith. Everybody say genuine faith. So an important question for any Christian to ask is if you were standing on the threshold of eternity and looking back over your life, would you be able to see your faith in the lives of others, especially in your family members? Would you be able to see your faith in their life? You know, Bishop Dr. Dale C. Bronner always says, what we do becomes, what we do in life all becomes history. But what we set in motion becomes legacy. And I'm charging and challenging mothers and fathers all over to build a heritage of faith so that you can set in motion faith in your family, faith in your house, so that it doesn't, what you do doesn't become history, but what you set in motion becomes legacy. Now, what is genuine? This word genuine, in the King James, it uses the word unfeigned. It means sincere or non-hypocritical. That means it's sincere and non-hypocritical. In other words, it not just talk the talk, it also walks the walk. The just shall live by what? To live by faith. In other words, faith should work anytime, anywhere, for anyone and anything. Praise the Lord. So is your faith working at home? Is your faith working in the job, on the community, see, faith is not reserved for just the church house. It should be working at our house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, Eunice, a mother, was not just a mother. She was a model. She and her mother, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, were mothers on a mission and in the ministry of motherhood. How? What was the first primary thing? Their faith. That's more important than finances, passing down finances or fads or fashions or things that you are familiar with, family traditions. Hallelujah. You got to pass down your faith in God, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith in the blood of Jesus, your faith in the word of the living God, your faith in God. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, it says, the older woman, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they be admonished, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, motherhood is ordained by God as a part of his great plan. And we see motherhood centered around a lifestyle, a faith. Believe in God, moms. Believe in God, dear mothers. Believe in God, even in the face of seemingly impossible situations, impossible odds. Standing on the Word of God, trusting in God, and releasing active faith in the Lord, in God, and His Word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. Now let's get ready to receive communion. And with the context of faith that we're bringing and exhorting, we want to mention a couple of things as we get our communion elements ready. Because the word of the Lord came to Sister Gloria Copeland, who is a mother and a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, actually. Some years ago, she wrote this. She wrote this statement, the word of the Lord, relative to faith and context. Listen to this. Faith is the resource, power, and ability to receive the supernatural ability of God in your spirit, soul, and body, and the circumstances of life. Faith changes every situation when applied. Faith gives freedom from the curse, which is disease, turmoil, poverty, and sadness. Isn't that good? See, none of these setbacks or obstacles we're facing, you're facing, can stop God's plan and destiny for you. You know, perhaps some that are watching right now or listening to this right now, you might be experiencing, well, God, you know, I don't see everything lined up to your plan and your purpose that you revealed to me and put in my heart for my family right now. But I'm going to tell you, to encourage your heart, none of the setbacks, none of the obstacles you're facing can stop God's plan and destiny for you. This is still yours to experience the supernatural, your year to experience the supernatural multiplication and increase in Jesus' name and by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say praise the Lord? See, if you make a quality decision as we take communion today to place God's word as highest authority in your life. Because what did these two women stand on? Not their authority or not their ability, but God's authority and God's ability. They got a word from God, and they knew the word of God. That's what your faith stands on. Amen. You make a decision to put God's word as your highest authority in life, and you will stand strong in the face of uncertainty. Now, here's a word from the Holy Spirit given by a prophet of God. I want to give it to you and hopefully believe that it will impact you and increase your heart and stir up your faith in what the Lord is saying right now. This was given just a few weeks ago. This is not some years ago. A few weeks ago, this is a word from the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Do not fret and do not fear. This is early this year. I believe it was given in March. And I still plan to give you a supernatural year. It's not over and you will not fail. Didn't I tell you that the gates of hell shall not prevail? Rest in me and I'll see you through. I'll bring to pass all that I said I would do. So thank your Father in heaven. When you have a choice, you can choose to fear or you can choose to rejoice. So rejoice and do not cease. This is how you tap into my supernatural peace. Multiplication and increase is what I want for you. So step out in bold, confident faith. And you'll experience victory explode in your life the rest of the year through. I've made you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, your Lord and King. So shout for joy and be glad and rejoice and let his praises ring. You're about to be awed and amazed at what God's great moves and manifestations and miracle working power of God is about to bring. Praise God. So just lift your hands and thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you for your ability. Thank you that we can open the door to the supernatural, and we can open the door to the miraculous with our faith in Jesus' name. So we decide today, as we commit to the communion table, to be people of faith, to be mothers and fathers and children of faith, of a faith God, and in a faith family. We are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're not in the household of faith, we want to pray with you real quick so we take communion that you can get into the household of faith. It's simply by giving your whole life to Jesus, giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're not in the household of faith, say this after me. Say, Dear Father, in Jesus' name, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I come to you and give you my whole life, my whole self. I surrender my all to your Lordship, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. He is alive, and he is Lord. And I take him right now. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me, bringing me into the household of faith. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, go ahead and take your communion cup. Take the bread and receive. Now, what are we dedicating ourselves? We're dedicating ourselves to what? To be people of faith. What is the victory that's going to overcome every circumstance that the world and wickedness and wicked people bring? Faith. That's your victory. So, Father God, we commit to a lifestyle and a life of faith that pleases you in everything in our heart and in our homes. In Jesus' name. Take the cup. Blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, its forms, its manifestations. And say this with me. Say, God is on my side. For the blood of Jesus has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I pass the test. I will receive God's best. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus cleanses me and my family from all sin, its forms and manifestations. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you today. We're so glad and thankful that you watched today, this broadcast today. Let us know that you enjoyed. Let us know if you got something out of it you want to share, or send us a prayer request. You can send us a prayer request at 210. Text it to us, 941-3322. Or you can send us an email at connect@twcc-sa.org. And so we love you so much. We appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock for our little recap. We're going to recap about faith, and so you don't want to miss it tomorrow afternoon at 6 o'clock Central Time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.